I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Truthican. And the truth, as I see it, is that we've been divided in this country by design by people who benefit from that division. And it's not going to turn out well for 99% of us unless we all come together as one human race, realize we have all the power, and tell the establishment to go fuck themselves.
Before Trump won, then everybody was like, these election machines are all fucked up. They shouldn't be connected to the internet, and why are there computers inside them when they just gotta count shit? But then Biden won, and they were like, no, they're fine now.
If you're not smart enough to be my friend, fuck you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Truth Again Podcast, episode 82. My good buddy Mike Baldwin, he's that handsome fella right there. He is labeling a couple of videos for us right now, but we at the Truth That Can Podcast believe that the deep state is real. We think that Joe Biden is nothing more than a complete puppet for the deep state trying to ruin the country. And a lot of stuff going on. Last week he had his State of the Union, which only a certain amount of people, I feel like, thought that was a good State of the Union. I mean, obviously, I can't stand him. I can't hardly listen to anything he says. So it was hard for me to watch. I watched as much of it as I could, but it was so hard to watch them stand up and sit down and stand up and sit down. Like you mentioned it, you called it. You're like, they're going to be doing standing ovations after literally everything he says. And, it was hard to watch, man. It was just like, come on, fucking sit.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
I mean, it was historically, like, disliked. Like, even when Trump did his State of the Union, like CNN did. I trimmed my beard, by the way. I'm still getting used to watching myself talk. CNN did, like, a poll. I mean, they've done it ever since Clinton or Bush or whatever, but they do a poll, you know, was the State of the Union a good speech or did it suck? And Trump's results were like, you know, 70% of people said like, no, he did a good job on CNN even, you know, and Biden got lower than that. Biden got the lowest poll result that anybody's gotten in the last, you know, our lifetimes or since CNN's been tracking that shit. Like, people pretty much agree. That's why all the news stories said that he gave like a fiery speech, because everybody was just like, he's just screaming and like talking shit on people. And like, it's clear that he's trying to rile people up and stuff. And so then the headlines were like, fiery speech by Biden last night. And then even that, people were like, fiery? Like, dude, he was fucking being a psycho and he was clearly on something. Like, compare that speech to every other like press conference or interview that he gives. Like, they definitely amped him up on something, you know?
Yeah, I have never in my lifetime seen a president more hard to watch. And it didn't seem like a speech at all. It just seemed like him with a laundry list of lies, of shit that he says he's done and that they're going to do, but no, his entire, it's almost admirable as far as like, wow, you got nothing, but you've been saying the same nothing for 3.5 years now. Like, I mean, admirable in the least admirable sense. Like, wow, you just really stretching this bullshit out, aren't you? You know, like, and then afterwards,
a lot of it was repeated lines. Also, I saw a video somebody made of that, of like, and I don't remember what the lines were, but there were at least 5 to 10 word for word, the exact same line in every State of the Union address that he's given the 3 years that he's given one.
Yeah.
Or four? Is it four now?
Well, they only do one State of the Union a year, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe this is four. I don't know exactly, but
I don't either. I don't know if he gave one like a couple of months after he became president. I think he did, though. It doesn't matter. Three or four.
Well, I know he did I only remember one other one that he's actually done, and that was the one where it was all cloaked in red and just looked.
Yeah. And I'm not 100. I don't know if that was even the State of the Union, was it? Because the State of the Union address is in front of all of Congress and everything. That's why they stand up and clap and shit. I think that red background thing was just some kind of speech or something, or it might have been after what, Afghanistan? Fuck, dude, I don't even remember now.
Yeah, it's hard to keep together.
Shit.
Yeah, he definitely is that, and I feel like the whole standing up after literally everything they say, that's just them trying to Jedi mind trick the dumbest of the of people in the country to be like, well, they're all standing after everything he says, so maybe that's good. I don't know, you know, like, but nobody watching that shit. First of all, I don't know what the numbers were, but I went to like a lot of different YouTube places because they showed it on like, I don't know how many different places, like 10 different YouTube channels, and all the comments were turned off and not that many people were watching. And if it would be like, I don't know, several thousand people watching, which isn't a lot considering how many people are in the country, and the likes versus the views was astronomically low. I was like thinking about the videos that I've had on, and I'm comparing the two, like how many likes I've gotten for a similar amount of views. And I'm like, wow, I'm kicking the president's ass. And they just turn off all the comments, because you know they would all be overwhelmingly negative.
Oh, of course. According to what is that? The Nielsen ratings, 28 million people watched the State of the Union. It was on every channel, you know. So a lot of people just were watching something else, and then it just came on and they kept the TV on. But it was still like, I don't know how good those numbers are. I want to say, like, how many people watch the Super Bowl? Like 70 or 80 million?
I have no idea. I don't know about that, but
viewership. 123.7 million people watch the Super Bowl. So compare
that's probably worldwide, though, right?
U.S. television history, it says.
Oh wow. Okay.
Plus, I don't know how popular the Super Bowl is in other countries. Anyway, it's not like soccer or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
But on the other hand, the results for the State of the Union could include other countries also. But if it does, then the Super Bowl does, and it all evens out. But the Super Bowl got 100 million more viewers than Biden's State of the Union, if that tells you how much people give a fuck about it. And most people did what I did, which is just watch one-minute clips on X afterwards. That's what I do with everything. I even did that with the Oscars, you know. I was like, I want to find out who wins the big thing, but I don't want to watch the fucking show. I don't want to give it my rating or whatever. I don't even know how that all works. But before we get off the subject of the State of the Union and people standing up and clapping and shit, here's this 9-second video of Kamala standing up and clapping. Granted, she had to clap for everything. That's like her job. If she had just sat there, that would have been an even worse story. But she was notorious for like sending people to jail on minor weed charges and stuff, and like keeping them in jail longer than they should have been, when they should have been like early released or whatever. And she just kept them in there for weed. And then had the thing where she was on like the Breakfast Club or something like that, and they asked her if she smoked weed, and she was like, you know, sometimes back in college, and like listening to Snoop and stuff. And then somebody came along and did the math, and they were like, Snoop didn't come out until 10 years after Kamala graduated college. So she was smoking weed when she was a fucking, if she was listening to Snoop, when she was like already a lawyer, I don't know the whole story, but either way, you can play that video there. It just says what I just said.
Yeah, I saw the thing you're referring to, and she is just, I don't, what would be harder, watching Biden for 4 more years or watching her if she somehow became president? I mean, I guess there's pretty much no way she would become, I guess, unless he got reelected and then something happened to him and then she was the president. But what would be harder to watch for 4 more years, her or Biden? Because she is insufferable, dude. I mean, they're both pretty freaking bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least she would. My immediate reaction is that she would be more coherent than him, but I don't even know if that's true. Like, of the when I've watched her do interviews and stuff, she's about on the same level playing field as Biden is when it comes to giving like captivating interviews and shit, you know?
Yeah, I just watched her talk about the State of the Union, and she just kept using the word extraordinary, that he was extraordinary and all this. I'm like, he's an extraordinary disgrace. Anyway, here's the thing.
Expunging thousands of convictions for the mere possession, because no one should be jailed for simply using or having on their record.
But the point that I made, if she had just sat there during that one and then stood up and clapped for everything else that he said, then people would be talking about it even more and be like, oh, she didn't stand on that one because she doesn't agree with him on that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, she literally, that was the most, I mean, there's been so many hypocritical things they've done and said, but for her to stand and be like, so like, yes. And she said the same thing on some talk show. And everyone in the audience went crazy. And watching that shit, I'm just like, you locked up 1,500 young black men for marijuana possession to pad your record, to pad your conviction record. She is just vile. I mean, the whole administration is just...
I like how you're just, you're like disgusted by these people. And I'm just like, eh, politics, you know? Like, they're all like that. I'm not... even most of the Republicans, you know, we are in like a record setting time of people saying, I saw a thing the other day about how a majority of black people still identify as Democrat. But if you go through and ask them specific questions, they lean Republican as far as their views and stuff, you know, gun control, abortion, I don't remember what else, like welfare stuff, all of that stuff, they lean to the right. So it's just part of not just black people, but it's part of people's family history to be like, my parents were Democrats, I'm a Democrat. But this thing that I was reading was talking about how a lot of black people identified as Democrat after the civil rights stuff in the 60s, because that was all Democrat people, you know, so they were like, fuck yeah, Democrats are saving us or whatever. And they've just continued to think that throughout their lives and then raise their kids to be Democrats. But now the kids that are growing up have no reference to the 60s, even mentioning the 90s or 9/11 or something. They're like, what? Like, that was a long time ago. Like, I don't care about that. So they're starting to be like, I don't think the way that my parents think, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely grossed out by this particular administration way more than I ever have anyone else. And there are Republicans that make me just as sick. Well, not just as sick, but pretty damn sick. But these guys in particular, especially Biden and Harris and Schumer and Schiff and Pelosi, those five to me are just the most, I can't believe anyone fucking supports them. And there are some people who do. Is this the Marjorie Taylor Greene? It looks like her hands.
No, it's not. It's, I don't think we have a Marjorie Taylor Greene one, do we?
No, but we should probably mention that too. That was probably the highlight of Joe Biden's speech.
Right. Like, yeah, we don't have, or well, I guess we did just show one clip from it, but yeah, we don't have anything else on the State of the Union. Everybody else has covered it clearly already. But yeah. The whole thing about Biden calling them illegals and then getting the Lake and Riley's name wrong. Granted, he could have fucked it up way more. And if you say it fast, I can see how it's sort of similar enough. You know what I mean? I'm sure that's not the first time anybody's ever said Lincoln before when saying a girl whose name I've never heard before this scenario, but still, fuck Biden, right? But instead of apologizing for mistakenly getting her name wrong, he apologized for saying the word illegal, and he said, I should have said undocumented or something like that, whatever it was that he said.
Yeah,
so everybody shit on him for that too.
Well, they should shit on him for everything he says.
But it's also funny. There was a, I forget who the comic is, but a couple of years ago, what was Marjorie Taylor Greene wearing? I think she had like a white dress on or something ridiculous. And she was like, woo, doing that. And they got a picture of that. And then somebody said, like, the person who gets kicked out of your comedy show for laughing or something like that. And she just, but then he redid the exact same meme with her from just the other night. I think she had like a MAGA hat on and whatever else. And she was still doing the, like yelling shit. It was a good, it's like Bongino says, it's sound bites and snapshots. It's all just like sentences and pictures of people doing fucking embarrassing shit.
I think that was BT who did that. And I like Marjorie Taylor Greene a lot, but that was pretty damn funny. I like that she's pretty ballsy lady, you know.
Yeah, and she's not stupid if you sit and listen to her talk for longer than a one soundbite, you know.
Right.
Like, yeah. You can take, and I defend Biden every time we play a clip of him doing something stupid, because I'm like, it was, you know, 2 seconds long, though. Like, if we had watched 10 seconds on both sides of it, it might not have seemed as stupid. But, so it's the same with everybody, but with her also. But no, this video is just a thing that I saw, and it kind of struck a chord with me, because I was like, you know, we should have the guts to like speak up and stuff.
Okay. Well, who is this broad again? Do we need
it? Doesn't matter.
Okay.
How you can put the illegal immigrants in a hotel? Mm-hmm. That's it.
Exactly. I'm just going to say this. And I'm going to say it fucking proudly. You guys voted for a president who wanted open borders, and you got open borders, and now it's chaos. You can barely find groceries in New York City. Well, guess what? I don't feel a bit sorry for you. You guys wanted this. You guys fought for this. Americans in our country don't even get this luxury. You guys fight for your rights, for your choices, for all of this, okay? You fight for your way all the time. I can't even have my own opinion. I can't even have my own choice. Hell, I can't even wear this shirt on this app without getting absolutely ostracized for it. I don't speak.
If you didn't see the shirt, it's got Trump sitting in a car. I think it might have fake sunglasses on, and it says, "Get in, loser. We're making America great again." It's a great shirt.
Speak much of my opinion, because half the time I get hate for it, and I don't get political. I don't. I rarely respond to the hate comments that I get, but you know what? I'm getting real sick and tired of shit going on, and nobody can say anything without feeling like they're going to be attacked. Like, I had some girl comment on this shirt, actually, the one I'm wearing. She wanted the shirt, but she was afraid of the hate comments she was going to get. This is my message. Wear it, and wear it proudly. Stand for somebody who wants better for our country, and wear it proudly. Say it proudly. I don't care if Trump said, grab her by the whatever, okay? Get the fuck over it. Y'all are out here doing and saying way worse.
That's it.
Yeah, she's right. And I think that'd be a good shirt, even if you didn't like Trump. It's funny. Get in, loser. we're making America great again.
I think it says we're taking America back or something like that. But either, it's the same gist.
Okay. I ordered a shirt last night I thought was funny. It says it's a picture of Jesus, and it just says, I saw that. You'd have to see it. It's pretty damn funny.
Where did you order a shirt from?
I can't remember the name of the website, but I came across another. Somebody else was wearing a Jesus shirt that I thought was funny. It was like Jesus, he had Satan in like a wrestling move. He was like choking him out. And I thought that was funny. So I tried to find that shirt. And then I came across that one, and it's just this picture of Jesus, and it says, I saw that.
There's a website called $6shirts.com, and they have $6 shirts, and they have all sorts of, like, whatever the word is called for a t-shirt that has shit written on it. What is that called? Like a...
I have no idea, but I'm going to write that down. $6 t-shirts?
$6shirts.com. Granted, only the smalls are $6, but the XLs are like $9. Okay. So it's still a better deal than Like, I'll always see a funny shirt and it'll be like $34.99 or something. And then I'll look it up on $6shirts.com and I'm like, oh, $9. All right. I don't know how trademarked any of it is or anything, you know, but
yeah,
most of them aren't. Most of them are just people like me that are just like, I made a shirt, made 1,000 copies of it.
Yeah. Well, I wrote that down. I'm going to order some shirts off this. Not like I have way too many clothes. I need to get rid of so much shit, and I can never get rid of it. I'm like, it still fits, or I like this shirt. Why don't I wear this? And then I'll get rid of like three and then just rearrange all the shit I have. And I'm like, God, dude, you wear like, you don't wear 85% of this shit. Just get rid of it. I have too much of my mom in me when it comes to that stuff. Like, I always think, oh, you never know. Like, yeah, you do. Just fucking get rid of it. Yeah, you do.
What do they say? I forget it was like a minimalization documentary or something that I watched, but the guy said, if you haven't used it in a year and it doesn't give you sentimental joy, then get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, but it's harder said than done for me, especially even when it comes to like packing. I always pack way too much shit, stuff I don't need. And on the rare occasions that I don't do that, I'm like, God, my life is so much easier. It's so much easier to repack my shit and, you know, just get out of here. And then anyway, we don't need to get off.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go to Arizona for 2 weeks, and I'm bringing 4 days worth of clothes plus one outfit to wear while I do laundry. That's what I planned ahead, as opposed to packing for 2 weeks, you know? So I'm like, all right.
Where are you going for 2 weeks?
Well, my sister and my brother-in-law and my nieces live outside of the Phoenix area. So I'm heading there a few days early, and I'm going to hang out with them over the weekend. And then next week I'm doing Entertainment Max Casinos for a few days, and then I'm doing JP's on the weekend. And then another casino like that Sunday and Monday or something. And then I'm heading back home.
Yeah, I actually did those shows that you're going to do. And they're actually not bad, the casino ones. A lot of times casinos are just a freaking nightmare.
Oh, yeah. I know one of them in the itinerary. It said that comedians are not allowed to sell merchandise.
Really? I don't remember that. I never did that one.
It's what I was hoping for, because I assume you did do it and were just like, yeah, I'm selling my shirts. And they're like, all right.
Well, I also don't read those itineraries for the most part. So it may have said that. I don't know. But
since we're talking about comedy related thing, do you want to see a video that I did? This is a clip from the first part is a clip from my comedy special, and 800 Pound Gorilla, the company that put it out, posted this on their TikTok, and like 200 people did a duet or a stitch or whatever it's called, where they like use the sound, but it's like their video. So anyway, so play this. It gets kind of annoying, but I made it as short as I could. It's like a minute and a half.
Okay.
Books. I'm a big audiobook reader. Audiobooks. I'm a big audiobook reader. My friends are dicks about it because I'll be like, I read a book. And they'll be like, no, you didn't. You just listened. And I'm like, so what? You just looked. How's your sense better than my sense? We're both getting the information of the book. The only difference is I know how to pronounce all the names correctly. Audiobooks, audiobooks, audiobooks. I'm a big audiobook reader. Audiobooks, audiobooks, reader. My friends are dicks about it because I'll be like, I read a book. And they'll be like, no, you didn't. You just listened. And I'm like, so what? You just looked. How's your sense better than my sense? We're both getting the information of the book. The only difference is I know how to pronounce all the names correctly. Audiobooks, audio, 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 audiobooks, audiobooks. No, you didn't. I'm like, so what? You just looked. Audio, 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 audiobooks, audio. I'm a big audiobook. Audio, audiobooks. Audiobooks. I'm a big audiobook reader.
That's it. That took me four fucking ever to edit all of those together to make it where it. My initial plan was to make music out of it and make some kind of beat kick in or something, but it was just too impossible. I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, so you did that. I thought for some reason somebody else did it for you.
No, I did the editing. But all of those people did those videos individually, you know?
Okay.
And if you're on TikTok, you can do the same thing on Instagram. There's like in the bottom left or right, there's a little sound thing and you click on that and you can just use the sound from any video and like make your own video with that sound, you know? And this is the first one of mine that I have another one on my drunk driving thing where it starts out with me going, I'm sober from alcohol. I'm high as fuck, but that's different. And like 100 people use just that 5 seconds on one of their videos. So that was kind of cool too. But this is the first one that I whipped together myself.
Yeah. Little aside, I hit 13 years of not drinking a few days back.
I saw that. Congrats. Yeah, lucky number 13.
Yeah, we'll see if I get through the year without getting fucking wasted.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I know it's just the addiction or whatever, but I still tell myself sometimes, like, dude, I'm like a few weeks ago when I was at Goonies Comedy Club, where the hotel is at the comedy club, like you walk to your room. And there was a part of me that was like, there's a bar here. I drink for free. Like I could just get hammered tonight and walk back to my room. But then I'm like, but then the streak would be over. And then I would have no reason to keep quitting, you know?
Right.
Because I don't want to start back over at zero or lie to people and been like, oh, I've been sober 13 years with one little break in the middle. And they're like, oh, so not 13 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, once you fall off the wagon, I feel like, at least for me, I'd be like, well, I'll start that streak again in a month. I'm going to have a month of getting hammered. And then it turns into a year. And before you know it, I'm like, I'm a big fat drunk fuck again. What was I going to say? It doesn't matter. But yeah, I want to get into Goonies. So let's talk about that when we get done with this. Okay. Where do we want to go now? Biden debating Trump. I was watching Kamala talk about that a little bit. She just kept putting that off. The lady kept asking her, is Biden going to debate Trump? Because Trump keeps saying he'll debate him anytime, anywhere, blah, blah, blah. I can't even believe that we have a president that is like, we don't know if he's even going to debate. That's like my entire life. The president, the people trying to become president debate each other. That's just what happens. And
well, I mean, this president is doing everything different than every other. I mean, he didn't even campaign, you know, and he's the most popular guy in American history. So, but I've heard the soundbite several times of people saying it's going to be too big to cheat. Like we're going to have too many voters for them to be able to rig it, which to me says that they're going to have to think of something else to keep it from happening, or just try to hope that Trump gets, see, even Trump getting thrown in jail, though, I don't think would stop him from running for president.
I
think it might even win him some extra votes, you know?
Yeah. He's never going to quit. And if they just have a legit election, not that it'll be completely legit, but if they have an election and don't get it put off or blow up the damn world or whatever they're going to have to do to keep Trump out of there, if by some terrible miracle Biden wins again, I am out, man. I mean, I'm fucking done. I'm not paying attention to anything for the next 4 years. I'm just like, just going to try to get through it and live my life. And I can't see myself being upset for 4 more years. I'm just going to be like, just going to do the best I can with what I have. And if the country goes to shit, obviously I can't help it. Yeah, I don't know, I mean, man.
That's all you really can do, you know? The one thing I do like is, and I guess this is, we can credit the founding fathers with this, is that, as they say, like, the wheels of government turn slowly. So it's hard to fuck everything up overnight, you know? Granted, you can start, like, they've definitely done their fair share in just the last 3.5 years or whatever, but it hasn't completely destroyed the country yet, you know? And that's the beauty of government, is that the wheels turn slow.
Yeah, well, they didn't really with Trump. I mean, like I've said before, he's the first president of my lifetime that was like, this is what we're doing on Friday, and by Monday, that shit was, like, enacted or whatever.
That is true.
But you're right about the typical bureaucrat. They just, they can make everything take forever. And I just thought that's how it had to be until Trump came along. And I realized that's not true at all. But yeah.
But the tax cuts jump out at me as a good example of that. Like the day that the tax thing got passed and he signed it, like 100 different companies gave bonuses and shit to all of their employees because they were like, fuck, we just made an extra $1 billion this year. And they immediately started buying extra equipment, started buying more stuff, started hiring more people. Like, businesses all over America were like, this is going to make things so much easier for us. And so that was pretty immediate. But in general, as far as like passing laws and things like that, like, things move slower, you know?
Yeah, it moves slow. But and the reverse of that is that you saw pretty much the immediacy of Biden screwing things up. Like, a loaf of bread around here anyway is $5. Like, you have to get some really shitty bread now to get one for like $3 or $4. Gas is $5 a gallon. You know, it went down into the fours for a little while, and all the short-sighted idiots were like, oh, thank God gas is going down. I'm like, no, you're still getting screwed. That's what they do. They yank it up, and then they put it down a little bit, and you're like, oh, thank God, some relief. And I'm like, no, this is all bad.
Yeah, it's the same with inflation, you know. Inflation goes up 7% 2 years ago, and this year it's only up 3%, and they're like, inflation's coming down. And it's like, no, that 7% is never going away. Like, it's still 7% higher, and now it's 3% higher on top of that. So just the rate at which it's going up has gone down, but everything's still going up.
Yeah.
And then people say, well, inflation happens all the time. It didn't during Trump. It was like 1%.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to me that they're able to lie about some of the shit they do. You know, like, this is the best economy we've ever had. And under Trump, things were so, and people are like, no, I can't believe you're able to just stand there and lie the way you do. But I mean, good for you, I guess. It's almost like a lying superpower. Speaking of dumb, I don't think we've ever talked about the fact that they claim he's got this stutter. And if you look at like old videos, he never had a stutter. Like,
no.
That's all bullshit.
Correct. I think he, in a book or something, he wrote about how he had a stutter when he was like a kid. So yeah. I don't even know if that's true, but it's, I know that that's not, it's not a valid excuse for his behavior, for his like condition or whatever. None of what he exhibits is a stutter. It's not him going, it's him going, like, that's different. Stutterers don't stop and think. They're just trying to get their face to make the word that they know they want to make.
Yeah. My favorite is when he just goes, well, anyway, mm-hmm. He just gives up on it. He's like, I can't keep going with this bullshit. Anyway, what do we want to play next?
Play the black and white one. It's all right. It's one that you sent to me. This is like Tony Robbins kind of stuff, in my opinion. But not to say it doesn't work, but it all falls into the same category of me, which is like, you want something, then go get it. Like that kind of attitude.
I don't remember that. I don't remember sending any of this, but I'm
just sure. Write this down. I am so happy and grateful. Write it down. I am so happy and grateful that I am God's highest form of creation. There never has been, and there never will be, another person created that will equal me. I love my life. I'm in control of my life because I'm in control of me. I know that whatever happens outside of me has no bearing on who I am. Read that 100 times a day. Write it 100 times a day until you start to understand that what's going on outside got nothing to do with who you are. Nothing to do with who you are.
I don't remember. I honestly thought I was like trying to send that to myself. Like, this is the shit you need to start remembering. I don't remember. I didn't mean to send you that, but I appreciate using it.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a positive thing, but it's like, I feel the same about positivity and negativity. And that is that neither one of them matter when it comes to what's going to actually happen, you know, like, yeah. If I'm going into a show and I'm thinking like, oh, this is going to be terrible, and then it ends up being good, I'm not surprised, you know. I'm just like, all right, nice. I'm glad that it went good instead of the way that I thought it was going to go. And I've also had shows where I'm like, come on, like, fucking do it, do good. And then I go out there and I fucking eat it, you know. And I'm like, well, damn it, that like positive aggression or whatever didn't really work. Like, stuff just happens. That's my opinion. And it could be a coincidence, or it could be God's plan or whatever. But either way, I don't think me, you know, hoping changes much.
Well, I've kind of Jedi mind tricked myself in the wrong way. Like you just said, anytime I'm super like, this is going to be great, or I love this club, these shows are always awesome, or whatever. A lot of times, I guess it'll be fine if it's a club I've been to before and I know it's good. But if I go into something thinking like, I don't know how many times I've said to myself, this is going to be brutal. Just like when I walk into the room and look at the layout, you know, like if it's some corporate thing, or you know, I see the way people are sad or whatever, I'm just like, or I see the guy in front of me just eating shit, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. And then it's almost always fine, or so it's sometimes great. And but my whole life has been that way. Like, I can't think too positively because I always get disappointed. So I either go into it with like, no matter what happens, good, bad, or indifferent, it's fine. It doesn't matter. I go into it with that attitude and it's okay. Or I go into it, this is going to suck. And then it's good. But if I'm positive about something, it's just, I don't know. It's like, I've trained myself that you have to be a little bit nervous or something.
Yeah.
You know,
or I'll walk into a green room and somebody will say like, hey, packed crowd, man, they look hot. And I never am like, yeah, they do. Like, we're going to get them. I'm like, yeah, well, we'll see. I'm like, all it takes is one dick to just destroy that whole crowd, you know? So anything can happen.
Sometimes it's just a big, shitty crowd. Like, I hate when people tell me, kill it, or you're going to kill it. And I'm like, can you take that back, please? Just tell me to have fun. That'd be great. And people are like, people laugh. And I'm like, seriously, could you just tell me to have fun? Don't tell me I'm going to kill it. I can't stand when I'm walking onto the stage and someone goes, oh, you're going to kill it, crush it. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Just let me do what I'm going to do and we'll see what happens.
That's funny, because that's what I said to every competitor in the Seattle Comedy Competition when I hosted last year. As they were walking up and we would either shake hands or fist bump or whatever, I would be like, crush it, or go kill it, or something like that. And they'd all be like, oh, okay. So I'm sure at least half of them were like, God damn it, dude, quit saying that. No, I've stopped. Like, I used to get on to people when they'd be like, hey, good luck at your show. And I'd be like, don't say that. Don't say good luck. That's bad luck. And they'd be like, oh, well. And then occasionally they'd be like, break a leg, I mean. And I'm like, exactly. Like, it's the opposite. But I've just stopped even caring about any of that. People are like, good luck tonight. You're going to crush. And I'm like, thanks. Appreciate it. Or I'll try, or something like that.
Yeah, you can't give it too much power either way. I've gotten a lot better about my little OCD as far as that kind of stuff goes, but I still have a touch of it for sure. What is this fantastic video we got here?
I think this is Zuby, but I'm not 100% sure, but it's somebody on the what's that guy's name? Bet David. What's his first name?
I have no idea.
Anyway, it's a dude on a podcast, but he's talking about, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, how things are better in Saudi Arabia. He doesn't comment on male and female, but I've added in the idea that things are better in Saudi Arabia if you're a man. If you're a woman in Saudi Arabia, I can't speak for how much better life would be. But if you're a man and you live in Saudi Arabia, then things are pretty fucking good. Here, play it.
And we'll... Saudi Arabia for 19 years. Did you say that? Oh my God. You'd rather live in Saudi Arabia than New York.
You guys don't have a clue.
You're so, by actually the way, comparing Saudi Arabia to New York City, bro?
You're talking zero crime rate. You're talking zero taxes. You're talking amazing amenities, fantastic infrastructure, incredible communities, fantastic schools, the company you work for paying for your child's education up to college level. You're talking about free healthcare, extraordinarily low crime rates. Like, you are safer in any Saudi city than you are in any major city in the U.S. by miles, not even comparable.
I hate fucking background music that's louder than the dialogue.
Yes, it was way louder. It was. I started to stop and say something, and I'm like, "Well, it's short. We'll just let it play out." But I like how
Bet David. That's the guy's name.
I like how
it is. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's okay. I like how everybody in there was just like, "I had no idea, really." You know, and it's like, yeah, I feel like so many Americans are like those three guys. Like when you start telling them things like, hey, did you know Trump did this and this and this, and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have actually or historically did this. And they're just like, I didn't know that. I'm like, yeah, you don't know shit. you don't know shit about anything really, other than what you've seen in the media or whatever. But the look on their faces, they're like, I didn't know any of that stuff. I wouldn't want to live in New York City now. I wanted to live there for like a year of my life. I just wanted to live there for a year, and I think you did for a while, right?
Yeah, but almost 2 years. I got in right at the end of before things started getting crazy. I think there was still tons of craziness there, don't get me wrong, but I experienced zero crime. I saw cops chasing a guy once, and I saw a dude get punched out, and I don't know if he was acquainted with the guy who punched him or if he was just a guy walking down the street. I know it was busy though, and I was like, oh fuck, did you just, all right, well, we're walking this way.
I've been there a couple of times, and I wanted to live there because it is like, or it was, it's just an electric city. Like to be just like part of it and like walking to wherever you're going, it just felt like, I don't know, I loved it. I loved certain aspects of it. And talk about, man, there's beautiful women all over the country, but New York City is like a classy, beautiful kind of a thing. Like there's a lot of like, I don't know, skanky hot chicks out here, you know, like fake, mm-hmm. But just classic, beautiful women in New York City, all dressed up and just like, man, good Lord, you know, everywhere you went.
Yep.
And it was cool to be part of that, but,
Yeah, the best time of New York City, well, the best time for your eyes for New York City is like springtime leading into summer, because all the girls are busting out their hot outfits, you know. And granted, the best time for your eyes in New York is also the worst time for your nose in New York, because all winter long, all of the nasty smells are sort of frozen, you know. And spring rolls around and that piss garbage fucking New York smell starts to come back and you're like, oh yeah, this. And then summer it gets like 90 degrees and you're like, oh God, this. And it's cooking now. That's even worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, unless there's some, I'll probably never live there now that I have a family, unless I was like absurdly rich and I wanted to get like an apartment down there or something. but yeah, a lot of those things.
Well, hopefully it'll get turned around also. Like crime and stuff, unlike government, can be turned around pretty quick, because all you got to do is bust a few people and let the word spread that people are now getting busted for this. And that knocks down at least 60% of all of the people who are just freely doing whatever the fuck they want, you know? Yeah. Oh, shit, they're getting, you know, if they start arresting shoplifters or whatever and actually like not letting them bail out immediately for no money and actually like sentencing them to jail time and shit, or just giant fines or something ridiculous, you know, where people are like, oh fuck, like that will slow it down a lot.
Yeah. Hey, I remember to mention this in the beginning of the podcast, and I didn't, but have you heard about the guy, the whistleblower for Boeing?
Yeah, I heard that was on Quite Frankly last night, and he had Rich Barris on there, who's like one of the big poll guys, and he found out on the show for the first time, and he was like, wait, what? He's like, I know exactly who you're talking about. Man, I wish I had that clip. But yeah, no, dude was straight up whistleblowing against Boeing, saying that they were fucking up all sorts of stuff in the last few years. And yeah, I don't know if it was, were they saying it was a suicide or?
Oh yeah, they said that he's committed suicide the day before he was supposed to be in court. I've got part of the article here. It was an Epic Times article. But yeah, they found him the day before he was supposed to testify against Boeing of an apparent suicide. And Boeing's just like, oh, we wish the best for his family. We're sorry to hear that. It was like, are you? I bet you're really bummed out about it. Boeing whistleblower found dead in car by apparent suicide. Literally the day he was supposed to do it. Josh Barnett was his name. The 62-year-old found dead from what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, sure, he could have actually killed himself, you know, but that kind of stuff happens so often where someone's getting ready to blow the whistle, or someone's getting ready to make a documentary, or they've made the documentary and then it gets released.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, did we talk about this on the podcast, or did I just see this somewhere? I just saw it somewhere about how even De Niro was going to make a vaccine documentary, because I think one of his sons came down with autism like at the age of like 5 or something, which I guess happens sometimes, and they were kind of attributing it to not COVID vaccine, but different vaccines. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them that can cause problems. And anyway, he was getting ready to release this vaccine, and he was on like morning talk shows talking about it and shit. And then like the day he was supposed to release it, or the day before, he got a phone call from someone. Oh, this was on the Jimmy Dore show. And De Niro takes the phone call, and then all of a sudden the documentary's off the table. Like Big Pharma got a hold of him, and they're like, here's what's going to happen if you release this vaccine. And he's like, all right, well, so for whatever reason, he just decided to not do that. But it's rumored, I think, I don't know if I said this on the podcast either, but that Kobe Bryant was supposed to testify against some pharmaceutical company like a month before his helicopter crashed. That kind of shit just happens all the time. And it's one of those things where it happens, no one can prove it, and then it just kind of gets swept under the rug. But people that the Clintons are the best example of that, you know, of people who were getting
died mysteriously.
Yeah. And they were getting ready. There's several of them that were getting ready. Anthony Bourdain was talking shit on the Clintons right before he supposedly hung himself. There's countless examples when it comes to the Clintons. And the Clintons have been in bed with Soros forever too. And George Soros is just a cancer on society. And now he's got a son coming up, you know, and it's like, well, at least he'll be dead soon. Like, well, no, he won't, because his son apparently is even worse. And the fact that the Clintons have always been tight with George Soros is pretty much all you need to know about the freaking Clintons.
Yeah, I feel like all of that stuff is not going to matter much longer. Twitter is playing a large part in that. X.com bringing the truth back, you know? Like, people are allowed to argue things, and you're allowed to say whatever you want within reason, you know, within the law, I guess. So that's helping a lot. Like, that's getting news stories that are blatant bullshit. People are finding out that they're blatant bullshit. At least people that are on X, which isn't everybody, but their traffic is improving every day, and their year over year stuff is all of them are in the red, or whatever, as they say, in the black. Which one's good? I guess red is when you're negative.
In the black is the good one.
So yeah, they're in the black. So that's just becoming more and more popular every day. Rumble just announced that they're doing a cloud thing. Do you know that story?
Nope.
All right. Do you remember the Parler app?
Yeah.
All right. So there was the Parler app. After January 6th, they started saying, oh, well, it was people were using this Parler app to like set up and meet and stuff. And then they tried to take it off of the App Store, and Apple wouldn't do it. Apple was like, dude, no, like freedom of speech or whatever. Like, it's an approved app. So Amazon, who runs all of the cloud service, which is like the big computers and storing all of the information and stuff, the thing that you have to put anything on the internet, Amazon actually shut it down. They closed down their whatever connection or something. And things like that are made Rumble open their eyes and be like, dude, we can't even trust the cloud services. Like, we got to start our own. And they just announced that yesterday or the day before that they're now going to offer Rumble cloud services. So you can have your internet shit go through there. I don't know how all of it works, but I know it's a big fucking expensive thing that they're doing, and they've obviously invested a lot of money in it, and hopefully it helps. And I'm checking right now actually to see, yeah, they're up today. How much? Up to from $6 to $8 per share.
Awesome.
Go Rumble.
Yeah, that's great. We definitely have to get away from traditional legacy media in this country and get back to what the founding fathers laid out for us. You know, I mean, people have gotten so used to, I think, the censorship and all that, and that's not a good thing, you know. And even in New York City, where they're like, this is kind of different, but same thing. The Fourth Amendment is essentially dead in America, you know, like the illegal searches and seizures, you know. Now they're just people in the subways. They're just like, yeah, going through their bags and shit. And I get it to a point, but it's also like, well, first of all, you know, I feel about like 9/11 and everything. You caused this, and now it's just an excuse to take away our rights slowly but surely. And the right to free speech is a huge part of all of that, you know, what the founding fathers laid out for us. And the more people get okay with it, it's not good. So God bless Rumble and platforms like that, X now. And, you know, I still see David Icke bagging on Elon Musk all the time. And I don't know. I trust David Icke. And at the same time, I'm like, dude, I think you're being against Elon and Trump and all that. I don't agree with you on that aspect of it. And he's way more in the know about that shit than I am. But I don't know. I don't want to believe him when it comes to Trump and Elon Musk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't follow that guy a whole lot. I've seen clips here and there of him talking about stuff, but or, you know, people talking about stuff that he said or whatever. But yeah, I go with what I see in front of me right now. And is Elon making a free speech platform? Is he improving it every day? Like, yeah. Is he making fucking rockets and boring holes in the middle of the earth and doing all the shit that he says he wanted to do? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't care if he was friends with a billionaire in Israel 10 years ago or whatever weird shit they talk about. They do the same thing with Trump. You know, he got a loan from Israel. That's why he's doing all this. And it's like, all right, how big was the loan? And was it from like the government of Israel, or was it from a Jewish guy that also lived in Israel in addition to America? Like, is this easily explainable?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to know about anything for sure. But I know that what we're currently dealing with is gotta be worse, you know? Do we have any more videos that we want to play?
Yeah, we've got this one. And then we've also probably got a couple from last week that we didn't play.
Okay. This is about COVID.
No, this is about, just like not paying taxes or something.
And oh, yeah.
When he says there's 190 million people in America, there's actually like 330 million people. But I think he just means like working age people who pay taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this video a lot if it's the one I'm thinking of. So, because this is kind of what I've been saying for a while. Like, it's too bad we can't all get on board with just like, you know, not paying taxes for a while and like being like, well, you know, you want to spend all our money on this, all this bullshit. What if we just don't give you any money? Then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
190 million Americans. Imagine if now out of that, all of them don't have jobs, right? Let's just say 90 million working Americans that are actually on the streets, free to move around. Let's just say out of the 90 million, 40 million say, you know what? We're not going to pay the mortgage payments and the taxes anymore. Matter of fact, we've been collaborating and we've saved up for a month or two. We don't need any gas or food for a month or two. So we're not even going to go shopping. We're not going to get on public transportation. We're not going to use our cars. We're done. We're going to take 2 months off. You know that thing you did to us with the global pandemic when you shut everything off? Well, we're going to shut everything off now, except we won't turn it back on until you negotiate a better deal with us, because you work for us. We don't work for you. You are our servants. That's what the government is. You're servants. But you got it where they're telling you everything you can and can't do, and you're afraid of them. What if we turned off the planet collectively and said, you know what? We're done. Talk to us when you send a representative that we approve of, and we'll start the negotiation process.
It just cut off. But yeah, I mean, I've said this before too, like it's the same way with like, let's go, you know, beat up that security guard or whatever. Then I'm like, all right, you go first. And then when I see you hit him, then I'll go hit him. Like I'm the same way with not paying taxes and shit. I'm like, if I see a shitload of people not paying their taxes, then I'll jump in. But I don't want to be the first one to jump on this grenade and have everybody else waiting to see what happens. And then I get thrown in jail because I'm the only guy who did it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that literally will never happen because of what you just said. Like, it's too scary to be the guy to jump. And I don't know. You can't get people on the same page about anything, but that we're like, today we're done. We're all of us today. Like, well, I can't do it today. I can do it next week. Like, well, no, next week's no good for me. Well, fuck. We'll just.
Yeah. I mean, if I went on stage and told like a whole audience, like, I'm not going to pay my taxes anymore, and I don't think you guys should either, then I bet within a week or two, I would get audited or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or just have cops show up at my door for something completely unrelated and be like, oh, you got some weed here, huh? You're going away for a long time, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's never going to happen, but it is a nice, theory, you know, that we could all collectively get together and what's go on strike, so to speak, but it's not going to happen, but it is nice to think about.
Did we play this Rand Paul thing last week?
I don't think so.
This is him talking about Fauci a little bit. You can play that if you want. We're almost done. We're almost at an hour. But yeah, I'm just looking through old videos that we didn't get to yet.
Okay.
Buried 33 years as of last week. And I get home and I think, you know, when I knock on the door, my wife lets me in. I think, well, she'll have my slippers, maybe a hug and a kiss, maybe a martini. And you know what I usually get when I get home? I open the door and you know what she says to me? How come Anthony Fauci's not in jail yet? But it's not for lack of trying. I've referred him twice to the Department of Justice, but there is this guy over there, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, who may be the most partisan Attorney General we've had. There used to be some sense of distance between the Attorney General and presidents in politics, but I think there is no longer. And we have the proof. We'd submitted the proof. Essentially, Anthony Fauci, in his own words, has admitted the truth. He lied in Congress, which is a felony. And we have the proof. It's in his own emails. It's in his own words. But if you look back in time and you want to know when the cover-up began, when the conspiracy began, it really began January 31st of 2020. The virus had only been out a couple weeks in China. And the Chinese were still saying, oh, it's not transmitted by, between humans. This was months after the virus had really erupted. We know now that the virus started in the lab, that the first three people sick, we actually know their names, worked in a lab in Wuhan.
That's all.
Okay. I thought I fucked it up there for a second, but it just kind of shut off.
Yeah, a lot of those just because they got to be under a minute or 90 seconds or whatever, and so Instagram just chops them at the end.
I wonder if his wife really, every time he comes home, he's like, get Fauci yet? I bet that was just a lead-in for that whole thing. But
you never know. I don't know what his wife's like. Maybe she's a fucking that kind of person that's like, did you get him? And he's like, not today, baby.
I'm working on it. I hope they get those people. Do you think there's... I mean, I'm sure you've heard the theories that, like, a lot of these people are dead or in Gitmo already and all that shit. Like, Joe Biden's already dead and Hillary Clinton's dead and all that shit. Like, do you think there could be any truth to any of that stuff?
I don't know. I was talking to a girl the other day, and she knows who she is. Hi. But she sent me a thing of comparing old Joe Biden to new Joe Biden, and I think she, at one point, she was like, you can see his mask like wrinkling around his neck or whatever sometimes. And I was like, if we're just going off wrinkly neck, then my grandma has a mask on also, because that's like what happens to your skin when you get old. You know, it fucking wrinkles in weird places and stuff like that. I don't know, man. I mean, it would have to be, I think it's a giant jump from the deep state is real, but Trump and the military are doing things about it, to all of these people are already in Gitmo. They've been executed and now they're having body doubles live their lives for them. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that kind of, it's hard to believe some things, but then, you know, like the wrinkled flag on certain people's coffins, McCain, George Bush Sr. I mean, that's a thing. Like, they have wrinkled flags for traitors. And you can see clearly, well, again, I say you can clearly see, but that could be a casket of anyone that they say, oh, that's his casket and it's wrinkled. I mean, they could have just been done that with anyone, I guess.
Also, aren't the flags like all folded up into those little triangles? And then they unfold it to put it on the casket. So wouldn't every flag be wrinkled or at least have lines all around it when you put it on? I mean, I've never looked into it, but I'm pretty sure they carry it out like folded up, and then they all do have an event of like unfolding it and draping it and doing all that stuff.
I mean, I know they do that with soldiers. I think ex-presidents and senators and shit, people like that, I don't know, but I mean they've always made a big thing out of it, like, oh, the flag is wrinkled, that means they're a traitor. So I guess when it's somebody, when it's a big deal, they make sure that shit's nice and smooth on there. I don't fucking know, but
yeah, I don't. That's another one of those things that I'm like, yeah, I don't know, but I know that that is not a, a good point to bring up in a debate or something, because that's one of those things that I think, but I'm not sure. So then if the person bounced back and they were like, they're folded into triangles, they all are, you fucking idiot, then I'd just be like, oh, yeah, I thought, I mean, I don't know. It's still all fucked up, though, right? Like, granted, I was wrong about that thing, but...
Right, but it seems like the people who do bring that up, like, especially, like, the fall of Cabal was when I first saw it, and... I mean, that kind of stuff is researchable. Like, you can find out, is this what they do to traitors? Do they wrinkle their flag? So I think that would be a pretty weak limb for them to walk out on to be like, oh, this is what they do. And is it true? Like, I don't know. I mean, but if you're going to make a documentary and put it in there, you think you would know you would know for sure, you know? So who knows? What else do we got? Because I have got to pee.
I don't know that we really have anything else. Okay. I'm looking at Quora.com, which doesn't say much. Anybody can answer these questions. But somebody asks, why was Senator McCain's casket covered with a wrinkled flag? And this guy says it was wrinkled because he's a traitor. But then somebody else said... a burial flag is provided by the Department of Veterans Affairs, most commonly using the U.S. Post Office as a distribution point. A funeral director, that's me, says the guy, goes to the post office with an application and receives the flag in a small rectangular box. It's very tightly crammed into the box, and it is very wrinkled. At that point, the FD, fire department, I guess, we'll take it to the cleaners and have it pressed, or he will do it himself using an iron. Oh, funeral director. I have ironed many flags, but a commercial cleaner will usually do a better job. They are not lightweight, easy to press fabric. They are a medium heavy cotton, closer to blue jeans than to a cotton dress shirt. This sort of fabric does not give up its wrinkles easily. My point is that the flag from the government is very wrinkled and totally anonymous, just grabbing one out of a stack. He says a whole lot of other stuff, but that kind of goes in with what I was saying, which is like, it's all folded up and shit. So, but they also, I guess, put in some extra effort to iron the shit. So I guess leaving out that step would be the thing that's like, yeah, fuck this guy. We didn't even iron your flag.
Right. But if it's like an ex-president, they're not going to be like half-assing it when it comes.
Right. Just grab a flag. Just grab a fucking box. Quick.
Yeah. Did you get the flag? We got to put the flag on there. It's the president. Yeah. So anyway, it's a good podcast. Go see Mike this weekend at, next weekend.
Yeah, the 22nd and 23rd, I'll be at JP's in Gilbert, Arizona, and like the 20th and 21st and 24th and 25th, I'm doing casinos in Arizona. So if you live within an hour of there, you know the casino that I'm talking about that has a comedy night, and that's me. Go to that one.
And I will be at Elk City. I always call it Elk City, but that's not right. Elk Casino. Elk. What the fuck? Why can't I say it right? It's in Crescent City, California. Elk River Casino, I believe. Anyway, if you're anywhere near there, you know where the hell it is. But yeah, I've got a long drive ahead of me this weekend. I'm driving like 12 hours each way, which I kind of miss. I'm kind of looking forward to it. So as long as...
This drive that I'm about to take is the longest one I've taken since probably before. I take that back because I have driven to Tampa and back since COVID. But other than that, I haven't driven to Arizona in a long fucking time. I flew there the last time I went and rented a car, and I ended up almost not even breaking even because of how expensive everything was. And I said, the next time I come to Arizona, I'm fucking driving my own car. So then I'll have my car with me the whole time. I can go wherever I want, whenever I want to.
Yeah.
All right. You go pee. I'm going to get ready and hit the road. I got a few other things to do. And then I'm starting my 16-hour journey.
Awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. God bless all of you and take care. Goodbye.
Goodbye.